You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
It says, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for fear and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. God, we pray this morning that you would speak to us through your word, that you might show us the possibility of new life that you alone offer. We pray that your Spirit would guide us to your truth for this day. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. A couple of observations about this text. Mark has this specific emphasis throughout, if you read Mark's gospel, that there seems to be this, a lot of times where the women seem to get it, and the guys seem a little more dense. They don't seem to quite grasp it sometimes. And sorry, guys, it's just the way it is sometimes. I think that's true, even in my life. At least I'll speak for me. Sometimes my wife gets it a lot faster than I do, and I take a little bit more time to come around to things. But that's what's happening in Mark's gospel. So I'm reading this, and I see this thing where it says, the women, the Sabbath was over, and Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices. Now immediately my question is, where were the guys? What are you guys doing? First of all, because this whole resurrection story, the ones that see the angel, at least here, it's only the women, and the guys are who knows where, MIA, missing in action. It's convicting to me. Another question I have when I read this is, I wonder, it says when the Sabbath was passed, I wonder what that Sabbath day was like. Have you ever wondered about that? Like, when you read the Bible, sometimes there's holes, there's gaps in the gospel, or, you know, what I say gaps. God knows what God's doing better than I. But sometimes I read it and I wonder, it just kind of skips over that real fast. It says, when the Sabbath was passed, and I'm going, well, what was that day like? You know, the day after Jesus has been crucified, and it's supposed to be a day of worship, a day of celebration, a day of rest. I wonder what that was like. Did the disciples and the women find it hard to worship? Did they choke back tears as they were trying to say their prayers? As they were remembering their friend? Was there disappointment on that Sabbath day? Were they angry? I just wonder what that Sabbath was like. But it doesn't tell us. So we have this story of these women who come and they bring the spices because they're ready on that first day of the week to anoint the body of Jesus. And as they were gathering, as they're gathering closer, conversing with one another and saying, who's going to roll away the stone? I mean, we know that there was this big stone that was there to seal the tomb. When I read that, I think when they get there, they find that it's been rolled away already. And I asked the question, I said, did Jesus really need the stone to be rolled away? You know, because there's other gospels where it talks about Jesus kind of appearing in a room, and, you know, did he really have to have it rolled away? No, I think he didn't. It was for their benefit that they walked up and saw it moved and said, wait a minute, something's different here. Something's going on here. For our benefit that the stone was rolled away. Now they get in and they see this young man. It's probably an angel, but it doesn't specifically say that. It just says a young man sitting in there with a white robe on. And they're afraid. They're afraid. Because when we have expectations that aren't fulfilled, sometimes that's kind of scary. When you walk up to a grave, you kind of expect that there's going to be a body there, right? And when you go and those expectations don't exactly work out, when the body's disappeared, when you expect to have a good report from the doctor and you don't get one, when you show up for a family gathering and expecting a reunion and it turns into an all-out war between sides of the family, that's not what you expect. And sometimes it's fearful and it causes anxiety. So what they found when they got to the tomb didn't exactly match up to their expectations. So he gives them this message: do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, he says. You were looking for Jesus, the one who was crucified. Now this is part of his title. The one who was crucified, part of his identity. But you were looking for this crucified man. You're looking for this body. You're looking for this pierced flesh, but it's not here anymore, the man says. He's not here. He's not here. Look, this is where they laid him, right here, but he's not here. So what do you do with that information? He says, go tell the disciples. Go tell Peter that Jesus is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you. Now, after he says this, it says that the women, they fled. And in the Greek it says, they fled and it ends with and, dot, dot, dot. Now, most scholars believe that the Gospel of John ends here. Or, I mean, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of Mark ends here. That if you have it in your Bible, some Bibles will have it here. It says, there's a little footnote that says, some of the earliest manuscripts do not include 9 through 20. Scholars believe that that was probably added later, but that Mark, when he's telling his story, ends it right here. He says, they leave and they're afraid, and if you're like me, you're like, I can't end on that. What? That can't be the end of the story? It's no wonder somebody said, that can't be the end. We got to fix this. We got to, you know, we got to add something there at the end to straighten things out. But I think Mark's doing something here. I think Mark's trying to challenge us here. Because if you ended the gospel right there, there's no resurrection appearance. They've not seen Jesus. They've just seen the angel. They've seen the evidence that he's gone. There's only the invitation to the disciples to go to Galilee because he's waiting for you there. Go to Galilee. And so then we ask the question, well, who are the disciples in? Well, it's Peter and Andrew and James and John, right? But it's more than that. It's you and it's me. And we're the ones that this angel, or the message that these women are bringing back to say, go to Galilee, for Jesus is waiting for you there. But where's Galilee, we might ask? Is it that city that's north of Jerusalem, that city from which Jesus came, that area? Sure, but it's more than that. It's also the beginning of Mark's gospel. And I think here's where we get to what Mark's trying to do. The beginning of Mark 1, it says in verse 9, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. I think what Mark is saying here when he gets to the end of his gospel in verse 8 and he says, go to Galilee. There Jesus is waiting for you. He's also saying, at this point, as you're hearing the gospel, as you're reading the gospel, go back to the beginning and read it again. Because when you read it a second time, as a response to the resurrection, it takes on a whole new meaning. He's saying the story isn't over. Go back and read it again. Now that you've been to the cross, now that you've been to the tomb, go back and read it again. Because then you're going to see Jesus in a different way. Then you're going to see when Jesus heals. You're going to see when Jesus is teaching. You're going to see when Jesus is casting out demons, that even those that are closest to him just don't seem to get it. As you read Mark again, you're going to see that the power of God breaking into the earth in Jesus is also the power of God shown in suffering and in death. When we read Mark again, we find that every story in Mark is a post-resurrection appearance when we read it a second time. Jesus is appearing to them once again, anew, afresh, something different. But it's not only the Galilee in Scripture. Because I think what God is saying to us too, and what Mark is saying to us, is do you really want to see the risen Lord? Open your eyes. Open your eyes. He's at work all around you. That's why I asked us in the beginning, where have we seen resurrection? Where have we seen new life? Because God is at work in our world, bringing resurrection and new life all around us if we would open our eyes. I heard a guy this week say, it's much easier to follow a dead Messiah than it is to follow a living Savior who has been unleashed in this world. Think about that a little bit. It's easier to follow a dead Messiah than it is to following a living Savior who is alive and has been unleashed in this world. It's very easy to know that I can quote chapter and verse and follow a Messiah that's confined to these pages. It's a whole different thing when he's alive and he's at work. And I have to keep my eyes open because it's unexpected. It'll hit me out of nowhere when I'm least expecting it, that I see new life. That when I'm going to the doctor and I'm expecting that bad report and he says, we can't find anything. We don't know what's going on here. And it catches you unaware. When you go to that person that you know this is going to be a rough conversation that you're preparing for and you've psyched yourself up for it and you show up and that person looks you in the eye and says, I forgive you. I forgive you. It's new life. You've been given a new lease. You've been released from the captivity of that sin. It's resurrection, and you weren't expecting it. When you start talking to somebody about your faith one day because you're sitting by them at work or you're sitting by them in the restaurant, and you start sharing about what Christ has done for you, and they say, tell me about this Jesus. I want it. I want that. I long for that. And you're caught by surprise. Resurrection right there. New life in the midst of your everyday existence. Or when your child comes to you as they're going to bed one night and says, Daddy, tell me about Jesus. I want to ask Jesus into my heart. And you're caught off guard. And you say, that's new life springing up all around us. And when we show up week after week, And this community of believers, we start experiencing something new and unexpected. When ministries start blossoming that we weren't expecting, it's new life springing up all around us. It's resurrection. It's Jesus all around us. Mark is saying to us, look, the story isn't finished on purpose. It ends with and dot, dot, dot. Because it's up to you and me to carry that on, to finish the story. It's up to you and me to go to Galilee. It's up to you and me to find the risen Savior. And I think that's what God wants to remind us today, that he is unleashing a new day in our life, starting now, because of the resurrection, because of the risen Christ. He is unleashing a new day in our life. He's unleashing a new day in our bodies, a new day in our heart, a new day in our mind, a new day in our soul. He's bringing new life to us today. He's unleashing a new day in our church. And today is that day of new beginnings. 8 years ago, Easter, 8 years ago, this church gathered together for the first time. And we said something along these lines. We believe that there's many in our community who have given up on religion, who've given up on the Christian faith for multiple reasons. We believe that many unchurched people in our community see the Christian faith as outdated and superficial and irrelevant. So our mission is to be a family committed to live by faith, not by religious rules. A family of faith that will be known for its love, not its stands. A family of faith that will offer a voice of hope, not condemnation, to all who seek a relationship with our Lord. Ecclesia exists to help unchurched and church people discover develop lasting, meaningful, growing relationships with one another and with our Creator. That's what we're about. God was springing up new life, and God continues if we will keep our eyes open. He's saying, I want to unleash a new tomorrow for you starting today. And over the past month, we've been talking about what it means to be a member of this body called Ecclesia. We've been talking about that and looking at it. We've been talking about a new document that we put together just to put some of those ideas in words, a covenant of membership. And in that, we say, hey, look, this is at our heart. This is at our DNA. We believe that God is doing something new here, that God is doing something afresh in our lives. And the way we talk about it is this way. We believe that God is forming us to be disciples, that God, from the very beginning, from before we were even born, God was preparing us and molding us and shaping us to the point of that day when we say, God, I respond to you in faith. He says, okay, great, I'm continuing to fold you, mold you, and form you, and shape you all the way to the day that you will meet him on the other side of glory. He says, I'm continuing to form you as the potter forms the clay. We believe that God has called us here to assemble together, that God has talked in his word that believers who are being formed assemble together because we help each other out. We lean on each other. We depend on each other. We grow from and learn from one another. That God has called us to be a community that reaches out and loves in a radical way. We talk about it in the form of compassion. We say that God has called us to look for God in the world. He says, where I was naked, you clothed me. Where I was hungry, you fed me. Where I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you came to me. He says, and they respond, when did we see that? He said, whenever you did it to the least of these. God has called us to a life of compassion, of reaching out as a church to be his hands and feet. And finally, God's called us to a life of exaltation, a life of praise, a life of worship, that our whole life, everything that we do is an act of praise. Everything that we are is a response to God's great love for us. We call it the face of Ecclesia: formation, assembly, compassion, exaltation. And we say that as a community, as a member of this community, you make some commitments to that. That you say, if I'm a member of this, this is what I'm going to agree to. And as a church, we say, hey, look, as a church, we come and we want to support you in that. And we've talked through that. And so today, we believe that God is doing something new, that God is unleashing a new day at Ecclesia. And we want you to be a part of it. We want to give you a chance this day to publicly say, hey, look, I'm on board with that. I want to be a part of that. This is my home. This is my family. These are my people. And as a church, we want to say to you, we welcome you. You are one of us. You are part of this family of resurrection. And so this morning, as we come to a close in our time, I want to give us a chance to do that. I want to ask if some of you guys are standing right there, maybe John or Dave, if you can grab, on the back table, there's our church covenant, the new covenant there that we have put together. And I want to make sure everybody has a copy of this in your hands so that you can look at it. And ask yourselves, is this something that God's calling me to do? Is God calling me to be a part of this family where God is giving us the chance to finish the gospel, to finish the message, where God is saying, it's up to you to finish this story that ends with that and dot, dot, dot. It's up to you to go and to look for those places of resurrection, for you to begin to live out that resurrection in your life, to experience that new day dawning in your heart and in your community, in this community of faith. It's a chance to say, I want to be a part of that. I'm committed to that. I want to do that. Somebody asked when we were talking about this, do you have to sign it? I'm already a member, right? Do you have to do it? Do I have to commit to it? No. Nobody's losing their membership. We're not kicking anybody out. We're just saying, hey, look, this is a chance to say, look, I recommit myself. Because the call of Jesus Christ isn't just a one-time thing, right? We believe that Jesus said, those who will follow me will take up their cross daily and follow me. We believe that Romans 12, it says that we will lay down our lives as a living sacrifice. Every day we make that choice to lay ourselves down as a living sacrifice. And in the same way, we have an opportunity from time to time to say, hey, look, I need to recommit myself to what we're about here. I need to recommit myself as a member of this church. I need to commit myself to what God is doing in this place. So this is that chance for you. The question is, are you ready for God to unleash a new day in the life of Ecclesia? Are you ready for this to be a community of resurrection in a new and profound way? Are you willing to say, hey, look, I'm plugging into that. I want to be a part of that. Now, I realize not everybody here is necessarily a member, and some of you are going, okay, well, this doesn't really apply to me. That's okay. You can make this commitment to the Lord, that you say, hey, whether it's here, whether it's somewhere else, in my life, I'm making this choice today. I want to commit to living out this new day, this new life. I commit to carrying this message of the gospel just as those women carried the message to the disciples, that you're saying, I'm ready, I'm willing. God, use me. Take me to spread this message. I give myself over to you so that this new life could become real in me. This resurrection of Jesus could be the resurrection of me as well. Let's take a moment just to look over this and to spend a moment in prayer together. And then we're going to have a chance to respond. And so this morning, as we're going to respond in this way, if you say, hey, I'm there, I'm with you on that one. I'm with this church. I'm committed. I want to be part of this. I want to continue to reaffirm my membership and my commitment to this body of believers. Maybe you'd want to sign that and date it. And we're going to lay them up here on the altar as a gift to the Lord to say, hey, we're part of this. We want to be that community of resurrection. If you'd be willing to do that, if you're here for the first time, or you're here and you haven't made that and you're making this commitment for the first time, come talk to me. We want to know about that. We want to know that you're saying, hey, I feel called to this family. I feel called to what's going on here. I feel called to plug in my gifts and my abilities and for Jesus to use me through this body. But as we respond this morning, let's spend just a moment in prayer. Daniel's going to come and lead us in song. And as he does, I'm going to ask you to respond. I'm going to ask you to respond. If that's something that you would be willing to do. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our God, we are excited about your work in this place. We are excited about your work in our lives. We are excited about what you're doing in this community. We're excited about how you're using this group of gathered believers to carry the message out to some of the forgotten places in our community, our larger community, forgotten places of Asheville, where there are people that are hurting, where there are people that are suffering and need to hear of your great love and the hope that we find in Jesus Christ. Today is a day of resurrection. Today is a day of new life. Today is a day of new beginnings. And while we know it might be easier if you were confined to the tomb, and we could remember all the things you said and reminisce, think back with fond memories of you, truth is, you're not there. You're alive. You're at work. You're continuing to move. You're continuing to reach out. You're continuing to use your body, the church in this world, to be your hands and feet, to bring new life to forgotten places. So, Father, help us to chase after you with everything that we are. Help us as a community to run after you with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole strength. God, we pray that you would help us during this time to respond to you, to respond in a way that would be pleasing to you. As we lift our voices in song, remind us of the new life that you want to offer us through your Spirit. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The words will be up on the screen, I believe, for this song. It's Hymn You Know. And if you'd be willing to respond through bringing your gift of that covenant up to the front, I would invite you to do so as the Spirit leads.